If you're taking notes this morning, the title of our conversation is this, The Secret Place. Jacob, if you could just stay with me until we pray. The Secret Place. Got a second title for you if you don't like that one. You can write this down, Shut the Door. Typically in marriages and families, there's people who remember to close cupboard doors and doors to rooms, and those that don't. If you're wondering, I am one of those who don't. If you've ever felt distant from God, like I have, if you've ever wondered, where is God? You ever wondered that? God, where are you? I've got good news for you today. We are going to take a look at Matthew chapter 6, where we find Jesus preaching the Sermon on the Mount. This is a message of Jesus that is unmistakable. The call of a disciple in the church is abundantly clear. Jesus teaches, catch this, church, if you listen and take on what I'm teaching you, you will build foundations deep within your life that are strong enough to survive the storms of life. They will carry you through the darkest seasons of life. And Jesus reminds us that storms are coming. You live life long enough, you will discover that life is anything but easy. And the question remains, do we have this firm foundation? One of the unmistakable characteristics of this foundation that we see Jesus live out and teach in the scripture that we're looking at today, it is one of the most essential elements of this firm foundation, is a secret life with God. Many of us have a secret life, but we don't have a secret life with God. I'm talking about the secret place. The Sermon on the Mount, Jesus, he's teaching his disciples, he's teaching followers, those who are intrigued. The Sermon on the Mount is a radical call to discipleship. Jesus shows us this new life that we live as disciples. Jesus instills the mission of the kingdom of God that becomes your mission, that becomes my mission. We are to be salt and light in the world as his church. Too often, instead of salt and light, the church is more like pepper and glow sticks. Instead of salt, we're a bad taste of Jesus. Instead of light, how often we're but a fading glow. And it's at the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus teaches the radical love and grace of God. And if we are to be his disciples, if we are to really change, not just behavior modification, but if our hearts are to be changed and transformed, if we are to be on mission, it is not possible without first understanding, without first colliding with, without first experiencing and encountering the love and grace of God with every fiber of our being. Church, I wonder today, do you know that Jesus loves you? You can go to church for years and still not know how much Jesus loves you. Have you encountered his radical love and grace for you? And within this Sermon on the Mount, we are jumping today into Matthew chapter 6. Jesus teaches on three characteristics of a disciple: giving, praying, and fasting. For those of you who joined us in our 21 days of prayer and fasting and our devotions, it ends today. Thank you. Jesus, we see, teaches on giving, fasting, and praying, and the heart of his teaching, church, is motive. If you're going to give, don't give to be seen. Just be seen giving. If you're going to fast, outside of a corporate fast, a church fast, we all know we're praying and fasting. We can pray for each other. We can encourage one another. But outside of a corporate fast, and I pray and hope that we implement fasting into the rhythms of our life after these 21 days of fasting. And Jesus is saying, when you do, don't brag about it. Don't complain about it. That one's tough for me. I want to complain how hungry I am. Can I get an amen? Jesus is saying, just fast in secret. The reward of heaven is in the secret place. Thank you, Davey. Matthew chapter 6, Jesus takes a moment to teach on prayer. This is the Son of God teaching us on prayer. Y'all still with me? Jesus says this, and when you pray, you must not be like the hypocrites, for they love to stand and pray in the synagogues and at the street corners that they may be seen by others. Jesus says, truly I say to you, they have received their reward. How have they received their reward? They've received their reward by praying to be noticed, by praying to be seen. They've received their reward by man. Their reward is the recognition of people. Maybe somebody says, wow, look at how good they are at praying. Yet their reward is an earthly reward. And Jesus says this, but when you pray, this is Jesus, when you pray, go into your room and shut the door and pray to your Father who is in secret. And your Father who sees in secret will reward you. Church, reward you with what? His presence. Verse 7, Jesus says this, and when you pray, he's helping us. When you pray, do not heap up empty phrases as the Gentiles do, for they think that they will be heard by God for their many words. Jesus is saying, you don't have to try and sound spiritual. Don't try and impress people. Don't try and impress God. Just get to the point and be honest. You ever had coffee with somebody and they're dancing around a subject that they want to address and for about 45 minutes they're dancing around that subject and then finally talk about the thing they want to talk about? So, I mean, we could have saved 45 minutes. Verse 8, Jesus says, do not be like them. Catch this, church, for your Father knows what you need before you ask him. And then Jesus says the statement, pray then like this. Notice Jesus does not say pray this word for word. Jesus says, hey, pray like this. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread and forgive us our debts, forgive us our sins, as we also forgive our debtors, those who sin against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For if you give others their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive others their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses. It's a challenging scripture. The Bible shows us, Jesus tells us, church, the secret to prayer is in the secret place. The secret to prayer is in the secret place. And I preach this message today with a burden and a conviction because it is perhaps my life message. And I don't know if you're allowed to have a life message at the age of 34, but I'm gonna say I have one. And I've said before things like, the subject of don't give up is my life message, but I've realized it is in the secret place where I first heard those words from heaven, Josh, don't give up. And it is when I have wanted to give up in life and in ministry, it is the secret place that I run to. It is the secret place I run to when I feel like there is no hope and I leave full of faith. It is the secret place that has sustained me. It is the secret place why I am still standing in ministry today. And while I preach this message with conviction in my heart, I also preach it personally convicted. Because how often I find myself drifting from the secret place, going too long without seeking God. How often I try to cope in life without the secret place with God, without shutting the door to the world and being with my Creator. And I would like to suggest that God is calling us deeper as a church to the deeper things of heaven. I know the Holy Spirit has convicted me. Josh, I'm calling you to go deeper. And before we pray, church, like most messages I preach, there is so much more to say and see from the scripture that we're looking at today. And so if you email me tomorrow, say, Josh, you forgot this or you should have said that, I want to save you the trouble because my response is going to be this. Are you ready? You're right. Amen. Why don't we pray? Holy Spirit of God, thank you for meeting us here. We know you'd be here because this is your church. And we thank you. We thank you that you meet us here. Holy Spirit of God, I thank you that you know every single person that is in your church today that is watching online. God, you smile over each person. You want to speak to each person. God, personally, I pray today as I preach your word, I need your grace, your power, your authority, your anointing. God, we preach from your word today. I need your help. I pray today as a church family, we pray today as your church family that we have open hearts and open minds to be changed and transformed by the truth of your word. And everybody said, amen. Thank you, Jacob. Everybody give Jacob a hand. Church, I love the church. I love the church. I've grown up in the church. I've seen the good, the bad, and the ugly. And I love the church. I love the church because the church is the hope of the world. I love the church because Jesus is building his church. I love the church because the church is God's idea and it's God's plan and it's God's vehicle for reaching the lost in the world. I love the church because God in his grace and his goodness, he chooses you and he chooses me. Can you believe that God chooses me to be a part of his church and he chooses you? I love the church because it's where we gather. I love the church because his presence meets us here. I love the church because no matter who you are, where you come from, what you find yourself in, you are welcome into the house of God to experience his grace and his goodness. I love the church. And I've said this before, I'm gonna keep saying it. I believe there's no greater time to be the church. What an opportunity in history that you and I get to be the church today. There is a problem in Christian culture where church services have seemingly replaced a Christian's prayer life, where the only time that we seemingly pray is in God's house on Sunday. Now, church, make no mistake, this is a house of prayer. Jesus says, my house will be known as a house of prayer. We are a praying church. Can I get an amen? And we pray in church. This service is soaked in prayer. But a praying church does not just pray on Sunday. A praying church is weak, is filled with seeking God. And a church that only prays on Sundays is simply a casual club on its way to irrelevancy. But a church that prays on Sunday, and a church that seeks God on Monday, and a church that humbles itself on Tuesday in the presence of God after receiving devastating news from a doctor, a church that seeks God on Wednesday after getting the promotion, a church that seeks God on Thursday, crying out to heaven for their son who is away from God, a church that wakes up early on a Friday to get to the Father before the distractions of the world get to them, a church that wakes up on a Saturday and prays when it doesn't feel like praying, that is a praying church. That is the family of God that is capable of charging hell with a water pistol and populating heaven. A church that fears God and fears no man, that is the church. Church, this gathering on Sunday is meant to start our week. We're meant to walk in already full from prayer. And there are those weeks where we walk in empty, and there are many of those weeks. Can I get an amen? And as in the house of God, when I walk in empty, I leave full again. Yet too often, we leave church and we don't hear from God for 6 more days. Too often, we don't talk to God until we find ourselves back in church. But church, tomorrow, when you wake up, the Creator of the heavens and the earth awaits. He's ready to speak, ready to minister to you. And I would like to suggest Jesus instructs us. The Word of God clearly shows us that being the church, being in church, serving the church is vital and essential to Christian living. To live as a follower of Jesus without the church is rebelling against the wisdom and the word of God. It rebels against the very plans of God. A Christian with no church is like trying to fly a plane with no wings. It may go down the runway, but it is incapable of taking off. And if the plane is God's house, prayer is the fuel. Talk to any pilot in our military, they will tell you a fighter jet is useless without fuel. Jesus teaches, he examples, and makes clear in God's word, there is a place that is as vital as God's house. Just as important as his church, it is the secret place. The place of prayer. It is interesting to me that two of the most common and repeated places the enemy and culture attacks is God's house and prayer. Make no mistake, church, the devil does not want you to pray. The enemy came to Jesus in the secret place when he was praying for 40 days. If Jesus, the Son of God, needed a secret place, church, I need it more. And if the enemy met the Son of God in the secret place, I can expect the enemy to plan and attack every attempt that I have of cutting away and spending time with God. Do not think the enemy will not attempt to whisper lies to keep you from hearing the whisper of heaven. What is prayer? Church, what is prayer? Prayer is communion with God. It is talking with God. Prayer is the highest activity that we can engage in as human beings. And if we really understood what prayer really is, I would suggest we would not go one day without it. The Bible says, pray without ceasing. In everything, pray. Prayer is being honest with God. You know that God can handle your honesty? You ever been angry at God? Upset with God? Maybe the most powerful aspect of prayer is listening. What does prayer do? Church, what does prayer do? We see in Scripture, prayer causes God to move on the earth. Did you know that? Prayer causes God to move on the earth. Prayer affects the very movement of God. We see in God's word, prayer changes the mind of God. Prayer moves the mighty hand of God. And the greatest thing about prayer is he meets us there. He meets us in the secret place. Church, there are some things God would do, could do, is willing to do, but he won't do because we do not ask in prayer. And every morning that we awake, he awaits. Where is God? You ever ask that question? Where is God? Church, write this down if you're taking notes. Where is God? God is in the secret place. So where do we pray? Jesus says, but when you pray, go into your room and shut the door and pray to your Father who is in secret. And your Father who sees in secret will reward you. Jesus says, go to your room and shut the door. Jesus is not saying the only place to pray is in your room. Jesus is teaching, find a place to cut away like he so often did and shut the door of the noise and distraction of the world. It is in there, in the secret place, he awaits. I love the story of a woman named Susanna Wesley. Maybe you've heard of her before. She's known as the mother of the Methodist Church. Susanna Wesley's life was filled with poverty, struggled with her health. She was married to a penniless preacher who was a dysfunctional man in and out of prison. Susanna's life was filled with grief. She lost 9 children in infancy and raised 10 more children, mostly as a single mother. Her home was burned to the ground twice. Yet her story is known as a persevering, persistent, honest prayer warrior whose prayers ended up radically changing the world. You may have heard of her son, John Wesley. And before her son grew up and started the Methodist Church movement, Susanna found herself a single mother again as her husband was imprisoned. Because he was the pastor, the church needed somebody to preach. And after weekends of many failed attempts of nobody being able to preach, Susanna started a Sunday school in her own kitchen for her kids, which then turned into neighbors and strangers also attending her Sunday school, which then turned into so many people they had to move into a barn, which then turned into over 200 people attending Susanna's Sunday school services. In the midst of all of this, Susanna still taught her 10 kids 6 hours a day homeschool education, as well as giving each of those kids an hour of time throughout the week. You might ask, how did Susanna do something like this, let alone stay sane? How did she walk through the grief of losing 9 children, the heartbreak of a failed marriage, a broken husband? How did she keep a soft heart instead of being overwhelmed with bitterness? And how did she manage educating 10 kids, providing for her family, preaching, pastoring her barn church? Susanna was a woman of prayer. And I quote, it was as she waited on the Lord each day that her strength was renewed again and again. You might ask, well, where did she wait on the Lord? There was nowhere to go, nowhere to hide with 10 kids. When Susanna wanted time with the Lord, she would pull her apron over her head. This was her prayer room. This was her secret place. And when Susanna pulled the apron over her head, all of those 10 children knew she is not to be disturbed. It was in the secret place of that apron that she poured out her heart to God, that she mourned the loss of her babies, that she interceded for her husband, that she prayed over her children name by name. Susanna may not have seen herself as a world changer, but as she led her little tribe at home and as she lived a life of prayer dependent on God, Susanna became the mother of 80 million Methodists in 130 nations. Church, do you have a secret place? What is Jesus saying? Jesus is saying, I would suggest Jesus is saying the majority of our prayer is meant for the secret place. If you're like me, when I don't pray, I drift. And I grow spiritually weak. When I don't pray, I'm telling God, God, I don't need you. When I don't pray, I tell God, God, I've got this. I know best. When I don't pray, I'm telling God, my will is better than yours. And when I don't pray, my pride flourishes and it suffocates my humility. When I don't pray, it sparks my anxiety and it hinders my faith. And so often, I try to cope in life without prayer. So often we try to cope in life, cope with the pain, disappointment, and discouragement with worldly things. Yet God has supplied us not just with the greatest coping mechanism, but with a peace and a strength and a freedom that is found in his presence in the secret place. Church, I want to ask this question. How are you coping? How are you coping? Are you coping through social media? Is your world turned upside down because TikTok is banned? We laugh, but it's how many of us cope. Are you coping through your phone? Are you coping through TV shows late at night as a distraction? Are you coping through sex? Are you coping through pills? Are you coping through drugs? Are you coping through pornography? Are you coping through food? Anything to numb the pain, the disappointment, the discouragement. Church, this is life. And unless we're all perfect, we need help from our Savior. How did Jesus cope? He coped in the secret place. How often we see Jesus cut away and pray before the sun was even up. I wish Jesus prayed later in the day. Praying in a certain place, the secret place, before Jesus started his ministry, he spent 40 days in the secret place of prayer. How often we see Jesus cut away, alone, seeking the Father in a certain place. How did Jesus cope in his darkest hour? We see Jesus in the Garden of Gethsemane as the weight of the sin of the world was about to be thrust upon him. We cannot begin to comprehend the weight, the magnitude, the physical, mental, spiritual state that Jesus was in. And where does he go? How does he cope? He goes to pray. He says one of the most powerful statements in human history. He said, God, if you can take this, please, but not my will, but your will be done. Church, do you have a secret place? A place that you pray? I would suggest the devil is fine if you keep going to church and you keep giving and you keep tithing and you keep serving as long as you don't have a secret place. Because he knows as long as you leave here and you don't pray, it won't be long before all those things are gone. Church, do you have a place? I have a place that I pray. Was there last night praying for you, praying for this service. I remember the first time I heard from God, and it wasn't in my place. It was with my dad at his place. When I was a kid, I would go on walks with my dad. I didn't know this was his prayer walk. For me, it was just a time to kick a soccer ball or ride a bike. This is when we lived in Australia, and I remember one of those days I turned back and I went to my dad. I was trying to explain something was going on. My dad said, well, maybe it's a cramp, ride it off again and see if it goes away. And I came back and said, it's still there. And the Holy Spirit spoke to my dad and said, I'm trying to speak to your son. And so my dad said to me, he said, Josh, I think God's trying to speak to you. I said, wow. He said, why don't you ride your bike again and stop and ask God, what is he saying? And so I rode off and I stopped and I asked God, what are you saying? And I heard God say, not audibly, that would have been cool. I heard God say, Josh, don't give up. Now at the time, that had no impact on my life. I was killing it on my bicycle. But as the years have gone by and I go back to my place that I pray, the Holy Spirit has reminded me of those words. When I have made up my mind that I was giving up. Josh, don't forget what I spoke to you when you were a boy. Don't give up. I have a place that I pray, church. It's right here. It's right next to church. It's in the parking lot. Used to be woods. It's my secret place. It's not secret anymore because you all know. It is the place that I learned to pray. As a middle schooler with my community group, it is the place that I wrestled with God over the call of my life. Church, you must understand, preaching was not my plan. I had other plans, but my plans changed in the secret place. It is the place that God spoke to me, Josh, I've called you to preach the gospel. It is the place that I pray. When I've been offended by people in church, it is the place that I run to and God meets me there in my weakness and I leave with his strength. It is the place that I pray when anxiety has tormented my mind and I leave with his peace. It is the place that I pray that I desperately ask for the wisdom of God to lead my family, to father my children, to pastor people. This is the place that I run to when life is awesome. It is the place that I run to when life has knocked the wind out of my sails. It is the place that God called me. It is the place that God reminds me of my call. It is the place that God fills me with vision. I have a secret place. And that place over there, it's mine. I call dibs, you can't have it. Church, do you have a place? And we need to close. The team can come on up. Say, Josh, that's great. But how do we pray? How are we supposed to pray? How do we have an effective prayer life? Jesus answered this question. He says, pray like this. With the time we have left, Jesus gives us a model of prayer. We're almost done. Remember, Jesus didn't say pray this word for word, although for some of us this may be helpful and practical. Jesus says pray like this. Jesus gives us the ingredients to pray in the secret place. He helps us understand what to meditate on, how to approach the throne of grace with confidence. Jesus helps us to have an effective prayer life. Jesus says, pray like this, our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Jesus says, acknowledge who you're talking to. He's teaching us how to approach the secret place. Our Father in heaven, we must understand the love of our Father, that he wants to be with you. Did you know that, church? When we approach the secret place, God's not sitting there like, oh, you again. No, God says, I've been waiting for you. God wants to be with you. And we must understand that he is our Father. And he is in heaven. He's holy and he's mighty. And to think that he wants to spend time with me. And it's our Father, it's community. And while I pray in secret, I am never apart from my community, as many Christians try to be. Some of us are praying our Father, and God is saying, you've been living as if I'm nobody else's Father. Go back to your community. And church, I'm going to say this because I feel like the Holy Spirit compelled me to say it. I love that there are different styles of churches and different types of churches. As long as they're preaching the Bible, we tell people every Sunday, people that make decisions to follow Jesus, if you're already part of a healthy church, plant yourself in it. But the world needs Christians to stop hopping from church to church because of something that we do not like or because Susan offended me in the parking lot. Sorry, Susan, I made that name up. Plant yourself. Decide as for me and my house. We will serve the Lord. Church hopping hurts the world more than it does the church. Because we do not have a church mature enough to reach the world. Plant yourself, church. There is always going to be something that you don't like. Why? Because it's church. And I'm here. And you're here. There's people. If you have not been offended yet, it's coming. If I haven't offended you yet, it's coming. I'm not trying to. But church, understand this is part of the purpose of community. This community's messy. And if we really dive into community, it's where I learned to forgive, to grow and mature. What does Jesus say next? Hallowed be your name. When I start praying this way, I'm getting my eyes off of myself, off of my situation, and I fixate them on the Father. And I understand the holy, mighty power of God is sitting with me, and he gave everything so that I could be near. It is here that we find a holy wonder. A fear of God. Oh, that you would meet me here, the safest place that I could run to. Church, God wants to be with you. When I get home from work and I get to the door, my kids run. It's important to make a distinction of the direction they run. They run to the door. Why? Because they know Dad is home. And they know no matter what type of day Dad has had, all that he wants to do is hug his kids and kiss his kids and hear about their day, every detail of their day. Church, we have a perfect heavenly Father who wants to be with you. He is holy, he is perfect, he is sovereign. He knows best. And he wants what's best for me. Verse 10, we're out of time. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Jesus says, pray the kingdom of God into your life. Notice, we haven't got to anything about asking God yet. Pray the kingdom of God into your life, your home, your church, your city, your family. How do we discover the kingdom of God? Being in church, reading the word, being in community group. Jesus says, pray the will of God into your family, into your home, into your business. As I do this, I become more passionate for his will over mine. Then Jesus says, give us this day our daily bread. Now we ask. Jesus reminds us we need to ask and we need him. We need his grace. We need his guidance. We need his mercies that are new every day. We need his strength. Bring your needs to the Father who already knows what you need. Forgive us our debts as we also have forgiven our debtors. Repentance is in the secret place. Bring your sin out of secret into the secret place. Experience forgiveness. And it is when we truly experience the forgiveness of God, we are enabled to forgive others. And the place, the secret place, we are able to let go of two things: sin and people. And lastly, when we were, verse 13, and lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Church, pray about the tests of life. God, help me to endure. God, help me to be aware of what might be a stronghold in my life. And when we learn to pray like this, we become more like Jesus. And church, catch this. We become less self-obsessed. I start caring more about the rewards of heaven than the rewards of the earth. May we be a church that learns to pray. God, we will be a church that prays. Your will in our city, your kingdom come in our city, in Virginia Beach as it is in heaven. Can I get an amen? What's the point of trying to reach the world if we can't reach your own neighborhoods? I'm convinced the devil laughs at a church of 10,000 people who don't pray, but the devil is terrified of a church of 10 that do. And I believe a word of the Lord for us as a church is wait. Wait on the Lord. We are in such a rush. You ever been in a rush when you go pray? It's all right, I gotta go pray. So this, this, and this. All right, I'm done. God says, wait. Wait. This week when you pray, church, wait. We are in such a rush. Slow down and wait. May it remind us that God can do in one moment. God can do in one moment what takes 85 years of a rushed life to do. You receive the word?